The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and joining us today is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
I wanted to just go over something briefly that we spoke about yesterday. And that was, we started off just saying, all this attention being paid to pain medication, specifically narcotics, because so many people are dying from taking overdoses. But when you put it into perspective, it really wasn't that much. It was $14,600 a year. And we said, well, people from cigarette smoke, hundreds of thousands of people are dying from that. And alcohol, you have about 88,000. And I was talking about this to a patient who said that, let me just say, too, the drugs they want you to use, the non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, it's been reported more people are dying from the use of those than from the narcotic painkillers or the opiates, over 20,000 a year. But the patient said to me, and I gave him those statistics, and he said, yeah, but narcotics are addicting. And I said to him, yeah, but if you're in pain, it's a trade-off. There's nothing... there's no perfect solution. You fix one problem, you have to, there are always potential side effects, but if you, I think it's more important to get rid of the pain. But another addicting substance is sugar, responsible for millions of deaths every year, and yet nothing is being talked about that. Again, it's putting things in perspective. And why is there such a focus on the 14,000 deaths from pain medication and no focus on the millions of deaths from an addicting substance, namely sugar, with millions of deaths a year? So we just have
Dr.
to
Slavin,
go, Janet.
Dr. Slavin, one of the things that is very misleading, it would be more of an addictive problem for people who continue to use the pain-relieving drugs, the opiates, beyond the point when their pain has subsided. So very, very important to understand that if they are used properly for pain relief and very gradually diminished as the pain decreases, then the potential problem of addictive aspect of those drugs is very, very much reduced.
Anyway, I felt it was important because the overarching theme by the media and whoever is putting out all this information is really taking your eye off what's important. What's important is the addicting substance, namely sugar, rather than narcotics, which, when used appropriately, are even safer than over-the-counter medications for pain relief. We see a lot of misinformation, Janet. A few weeks ago, the headlines every day were about the Zika virus. And
yes.
And now we don't hear anything about it. And could that have been a way to distract us as well from another real problem that they didn't want anybody to know about? I'm not sure, how it came about. You know, the Zika virus has been around for a long time, and you never heard of any specific issues with it, and more specifically, the microcephaly in infants born to women with the virus until a few weeks ago, and which to me is a curiosity, because if the virus has been around for a long time, how come we're first hearing about it now? Well, more importantly, how come they're blaming the Zika virus for it, and maybe there's a better reason for these birth defects?
It would be very important to truly understand the source of those birth defects. The interesting thing is a very, very small percentage, lower than 5% of the babies born with microcephaly have had a direct connection to the mother's exposure to the Zika virus. So that connection is tenuous at best, and the real reason for the microcephaly is going unrecognized.
Well, doctors in the area are now saying that the brain deformities that everybody was talking about in connection with the Zika virus are really caused by the mass fumigation of low-income Brazilian people with a chemical larvicide. In other words, they were spraying the area to kill the mosquitoes.
Right.
And that is probably, that makes more sense when you have this mass fumigation. And it went on for over a year and a half, so enough time for women to get pregnant and be exposed to it. So what happens? So when you take, when you distract people and say, "Oh, it's the Zika virus, not the the chemical fumigation," then they can go ahead and continue the chemical fumigation. Then they could talk about making a virus against the Zika, making a vaccine against the Zika virus. So you know, I just think it's unfortunately you really have to read between the lines and figure out what's going on. And it, and but more importantly, what's happening here is, it seems that you really can't trust the media. And where is the media taking its marching orders from? I think that's another question. You know, they come out with things, and who puts these things out to the media? And then all of a sudden, you know, they're reporting it probably without doing much research on their own. And give you, here's what happens with that. So, based entirely on fraudulent information and really poor science, President Obama is now asking for $1.8 billion in government handouts to vaccine companies and pharmaceutical corporations to combat Zika. Yet the linkage between the Zika virus and microcephaly is nothing but an unproven, unscientific, mythological narrative dreamed up by the vaccine pushers. It carries the same scientific weight as saying black cats cause bad luck or rubbing a rabbit's foot gives me good luck. So, and but I, you know, it just goes to show you how easily people are persuaded to think in a certain way. Because how many of the athletes were saying they were going to pass on the upcoming Olympics in Brazil because of the mosquito outbreak? So, and you don't hear any rebuttals. That's the problem. You don't hear anybody coming back on TV and giving the alternative explanation for why the microcephaly had occurred. You know, because the companies involved with the mass fumigation, we've seen how they have their tentacles into every aspect of lives in this country.
So very, very significant political contributions, or the corporations are very, very important politically. And their view of how to explain microcephaly and make a few dollars at the same time, here's the opportunity.
Yeah, Now, previous epidemics, and they've had them from the Zika virus, never caused any birth defects, despite infecting up to 75% of the population in those countries in South America and Central America. Countries like Colombia, there are no records of microcephaly, but there are plenty of Zika cases. The entire
Very
reason these brain... What's that, Janet?
Very interesting.
Yeah, the entire reason these brain deformities are being blamed on the Zika virus, we're now learning, is so that powerful chemical companies can continue to sell more toxic chemicals that poison people and the environment, because they're not getting the blame. They're blaming the virus.
Another virus that does not necessarily have any reasonable explanation. They've not been able to identify a cause. They've not been able to identify any connection among the individuals who have lost their lives due to this virus. And it's something going on in the Midwest, the Elizabethingerin virus. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but there have been just under 20 deaths in the Midwest, Michigan, and another state, and it is completely inexplicable. Dr. Slavin, have you read anything at all about that?
No.
Okay. Very, very interesting. So here are these odd viruses cropping up in different places, for Zika certainly in Brazil, but then we are being frightened by news reports of the Zika making its way into Florida, Texas, and other states around the country. And we are being further frightened, saying that it is just transmitted not only by mosquitoes, but by sexual intercourse with an infected individual. So very, very frightening news reports. And as you said, there's no rebuttal. There's no apparent approach to investigate further. It's just fear-mongering.
Well, it's just interesting. You never hear any doctor, well, in this case, doctors with alternative viewpoints in the media giving that information out. But now it's time for a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via telephone, Skype, or email with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at janetcimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 a.m., right here on AM 1470 WNN. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Herbert Slavin and Janet Cimarelli. They're located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill, and you can find them on the web at advancedmedicaltesting.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience. Clean, comfortable, and efficient. They guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest prices. They test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. They draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostics, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call them today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Nutritionist Janet, I noticed you sent me a link. Was it the brain scans give clues to stress heart attack link?
That was the link, and it was very, very interesting because it talked about the increased numbers of heart attacks that can be directly correlated to essentially worldwide levels of stress. And they're talking about, you know, when we are seeing news reports of tsunamis or earthquakes, or if we're, hearing news reports about Zika virus and how dangerous it is and how you must look forward to a pharmaceutical company coming up with a very appropriate vaccine so that you're not vulnerable to the Zika virus. But what made me send that link to you, Dr. Slavin, was because of the heart rate variability testing that the Institute of Advanced Medicine is able to do. And just a very, very simple 3-minute non-invasive test, very, very full of information, giving people an insight into their levels of stress as well as their vulnerability to that stress, how flexible their blood vessels might be, how well in tuned their a parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous systems might be in enabling their bodies to deal with stress. So I just thought it was a very, very interesting link.
Well, I just want to say that test, by the way, is covered by insurance as well.
So great.
Yeah. In the study that you're referring to, what they did was they looked at 300 people and they did brain scans on them, and they looked at the part of the brain that is affected by stress. And by the end of the study, roughly 5% of the people who had low evidence of stress by these scans had events, compared to roughly 40% of individuals with high activity in the brain, indicating more stress. So, this is just another piece to the puzzle, just linking stress with not just heart attacks, but heart disease and stroke. They say now that the risks of heart disease is on par with other factors like smoking, cholesterol, high blood pressure, and diabetes. And we keep mentioning over and over again that in reference to the high blood pressure, you know, here's the interesting thing. Smoking aside, because smoking, there's no mystery on how to cure smoking or, to stop putting cigarettes in your mouth, but I'm saying just stop. Now, when it comes to high cholesterol, high blood pressure, or diabetes, that's the triad, caused by insulin resistance. So checking your fasting insulin level would be an excellent way to first identify if that's the cause of your adult onset diabetes. That's what 90% of the people with diabetes have, adult onset, meaning insulin resistance, where the insulin doesn't work and your blood sugar is high. But before the blood sugar goes high, you can have perfectly normal blood sugars. You can have perfectly normal hemoglobin A1Cs, which is your average blood sugar over a 3-month period. So if the doctor isn't doing that fasting insulin level, he's going to miss it. So if you have elevated insulin, that's going to be associated with increased risk of diabetes or diabetes, high blood pressure, and cholesterol. So you can focus on that, because they're saying that stress is related to all these things. So now, stress is probably the most important factor in our health, and we're really unable to measure it, except I, you know, that test that Jana was speaking of, the heart rate variability, the trade name for it is Max Pulse. If you were to Google it for yourself, you could read about it. Or you could go to my website, drslavin.com, and under functional medicine, you can read about it as well. And and here's something else they were looking at here. In the same study, they looked at, they did PET scans, PET CTs on patients. They had almost 300 patients, average age of 55. And they were followed between the years 2005 and 2008 for cancer screening, and they were all found to be cancer-free. The scans allowed researchers to measure activity in regions of the brain, the bone marrow, and the arteries. If there was any evidence of cancer or established heart disease or were younger than 30 years old, they were excluded. And during the five-year study, 22 patients experienced a heart attack or a stroke. And this also confirmed, you know, they eliminated, you know, people with other serious illnesses. They showed that the increased brain activity that was associated with inflammation was associated with greater activity in bone marrow and increased inflammation in the arteries. So I don't think this is going to really become a widespread approach to looking for inflammation. It's just creating sound science as far as the link between inflammation and heart attack and stroke, because there are a lot of blood tests you can do that identify inflammation in the body. And, you know, we've talked about that over and over again. Not widely being used by physicians. You know, some of them, you know, the ones, you know, commonly used by physicians would be the SED rate and the cardio-CRP, but you have the LP-PLA2, you have fibrinogen, you have an oxidized LDL test, myeloperoxidase, endothelin, TMAO, ADMA. I mean, there are a lot of tests that identify inflammation, and they're not redundant because one area of inflammation could be present. In other words, one of the tests could be abnormal, the other ones could be normal. So you really have to look at many tests to identify inflammation and then figure out how you're going to fix it. I don't know if this is a fair question for you, Janet, because seeing lab work and you see evidence of inflammation, but what would you recommend to somebody, maybe even if you didn't know that person had inflammation? What would be the strategy to keep inflammation as low as possible?
Okay, I love that question, Dr. Slavin. It's very interesting because we don't necessarily need to know that there is inflammation. Let's just imagine that someone is coming to talk to me and they want to improve their good health. And so the first thing I would talk to them about, are you having any symptoms? And no, not really any symptoms. I try to eat a good diet. I exercise. I drink water. So step by step by step, what I would ask them to tell me would be what they're eating, breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, drinks, all of that. And then if they tell me, well, I eat my fruits and vegetables, and maybe I have for breakfast a great big fresh organic fruit salad. And I say, well, that isn't necessarily the best way to go for good health. That was a fad, I'm going to say, maybe 25, 30 years ago. Somebody suggested only fruit before noon. But with that recommendation, what we're seeing is, unfortunately, very, very high blood sugar, high fasting insulin levels, a lot of issues associated with ingesting or eating too many fruits. So the suggestion would be consider eating some proteins at breakfast. And one of the things that I suggest with regard to the protein is you don't necessarily have to be eating a Kellogg's breakfast. We've kind of been brainwashed into the perspective that we really should be having cereal for breakfast or toast or pancakes. things of that nature. And I say some high quality organic eggs, that's great. You might make that an omelet or even vegetables on the side. If you make your eggs poached or soft or hard boiled, that's something that you, Dr. Slavin, recommend all the time, that people cook their eggs leaving the yolk intact. And I tell people all the time, don't throw away the yolk. Don't eat just the egg whites. The egg whites are a great source of protein, but even better, the yolk is full of sulfur, really important for your immune system. The yolk is full of a very high quality form of lecithin that is a fat emulsifier. So start with changing your diet, making sure that the quality of the water that you're drinking is very high and free of, for sure, the worst offender, chlorine. And you want to also make sure that you get rid of the fluoride. That can be a problematic substance in your water as well. So cleaning up the diet is one of the best ways to go about improving your overall health. And what does that mean? It means the reduction in risk of being vulnerable to any number of health challenges. It could be heart attack, it could be arthritis, it could be headaches, it could be digestive problems. Whatever the health issue might be, you have a very, very high probability of minimizing that discomfort when you change your diet. Dr. Slavin?
A lot of times, we try to understand why people get sick. And we break it down into conditions. Why does someone get arthritis? Or why does someone get breast cancer? Or why does someone get diabetes? And they really, it's the same body exhibiting a problem in all different ways. And I don't know if that's helpful to, or it might be a little misleading too, to say, well, if I don't smoke or I just stop smoking, then I'll be healthy. Because there are people who don't smoke that get lung cancer, and you have to ask yourself, why was that? Wasn't there just some recent evidence that the consumption of sugar increased the risk of lung cancer? So, a healthy approach, in other words, a healthy lifestyle, is really the direction to take with regard to all illness, instead of just, picking out a disease and trying to focus on that, because a healthy lifestyle is going to protect you from all the different illnesses. Time for another break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Civarelli, licensed nutritionist. We'll be back right after this.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Dr. Herbert Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor. We are located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill, and you can find us on the web at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience, clean, comfortable, and efficient. We guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest price. We test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. We draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostic, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call us today to set up an appointment, 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I'm here to tell you about Dr. Herb Slavin, the medical director of the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill. The Institute brings the latest natural approaches to health, supported by research. We offer a full range of traditional and holistic treatments. The primary goal of the Institute of Advanced Medicine is to give you, the patient, the information you need to stay healthy and live long. So before you feel sick, before you develop symptoms, come see the team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine. You can call today, 954-748-4991, to learn all about the services offered at the Institute. Services from on-demand to chiropractic, from natural skin solutions to nutrition testing and support. 954-748-4991. You can visit drslavin.com to learn more.
This is Natural Doc Radio. You're listening. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli. And we were talking about stress and the things we could do. And clearly, the first thing is, well, why do we want to do anything about stress? Is because it's been linked to almost any illness you can think of. We mentioned earlier a link to heart attack and stroke and heart disease, linked to diabetes, high cholesterol, and hypertension. And so, you know, these are the all the illnesses, the majority of the illnesses that people go to see doctors for. And they, the doctor's solution is give them a drug for it, never addressing the person's level of stress. So we thought it'd be another approach, and I like this one. We've talked about it before, called intermittent fasting. Now, you know, I thought about this today, Janet, and you know what intermittent fasting is, right?
Yes.
What is the opposite of intermittent fasting?
I didn't hear it. What is the what of intermittent?
What would you think? Or I'm going to give you the answer. The opposite. What would be the opposite of intermittent fasting?
Okay, snacking, meals, constant grazing.
I would say continuous eating.
From the time you awaken in the morning till the time you go to bed at night. It's something that I've been talking to my clients about when they're asking me, well, what's a good snack? And when I say, well, some celery, maybe a cucumber, maybe some radishes, and they're looking at me, well, that's not what I want for a snack. Aren't there any healthy chips? No, there aren't any healthy chips.
So when I mentioned to people, you know, you should do intermittent fasting, it's a shame that that's not what they're already doing, because that's the healthy approach. The opposite of intermittent fasting, as I mentioned, would be constant eating, and I think that's what people are practicing. But they found that the cells in your body react to fasting in much the same way as they do to exercise. In other words, when placed under stress, be it exercise or fasting, the reaction creates changes at the cellular level that helps extend your lifespan. So, I mean, here's a very simple lifestyle change that can create benefits for yourself. So here's what happens. So what intermittent fasting says is just eat during an 8-hour window. I think you can consume enough food in 8 hours. You don't have to be eating all the hours you're awake. And don't, Janet, don't some people eat while they sleep? They get up and walk in their sleep. And
unfortunately, I see some of those people who are using certain medicines for insomnia that when they wake up in the morning, they see their kitchen in great disarray and think they've been robbed. But the truth of the matter is they are the ones that have gotten up and foraged for food.
All right. No, so I'm not making it up. It's known that some of the prescription drugs used for sleep can have that as a side effect. Anyway, when you fast, it shifts your body from using blood sugar or glucose as its primary fuel to fat as its primary fuel. And when you're an efficient fat burner, creates benefits beyond weight loss. So, we're talking about stress. Fasting reduces the amount of free radicals in your body, renews your immune system through the regulation of stem cell production. It also helps clean up damaged cells and reduces the inflammatory response. And that's because when you only eat during an 8-hour window, it leaves, gives your body 16 hours to do all the other work that it needs to do to keep your body as healthy as possible. Now, I think for so long, you used to hear about carb loading. You know, if you were a marathon runner or a long distance runner, they said, you know, eat a lot of carbs before the race so you'll have energy to continue the race. It's turning out to be bad advice, because if you're an efficient fat burner, you'll get far more distance on burning fat than you will from burning carbs. And besides that, glucose specifically is a dirty fuel in your body because it generates far more free radicals than fat. To burn fat, your cells must be healthy and normal. Cancer cells, here's an important point, cancer cells cannot burn fat. And this is why a healthy, high-fat diet appears to be much such an effective anti-cancer strategy. You know, when someone has cancer, we tell them, cut out the sugar, because that's the fuel for the cancer cells. So a healthy diet, I think more and more research is coming out now, showing that a healthy diet is really one that's more of a low-carbohydrate diet. And I think some of the recent fad diets, like the paleo diet, that probably shouldn't be considered a fad diet. I would think it's more of a natural diet. If you're avoiding processed foods, I think that's the way to go. Because if you avoid processed foods, you're basically being forced to avoid a lot of the carbohydrates that people eat.
You're being forced to avoid a lot of the processed foods that contain additional ingredients that are of no benefit to your body. Unfortunately, it would have potentially artificial colors. I was having a conversation the other day about MSG, and most of the time when I mention MSG, people say, well, oh, I would never use that in my food. Well, take a look at the MSG in refried beans, in many of the soups, in many of the processed foods. If you read the small print, you'll see natural flavors as one of the ingredients, and that's code for MSG. MSG is natural. It comes from soy, but it has some very, very negative brain chemistry and immune system effects. So very important to avoid the processed food. And as you said, Dr. Slavin, the paleo diet is a normal diet. It gets rid of things that come out of a factory and focuses the effect or the intake in your diet on foods that you can identify, foods that haven't been highly processed and put into a can or a box or a bag.
Now, I think the challenge for a lot of people is, you know, when people start examining their own diets and what they eat, they're realizing they're eating so many carbohydrates. And the response we get when we recommend shifting away from the carbs, and they say, what's left to eat? And I think that's, you know, that's says it all. People are eating so many carbs, they don't know what to eat if you take away the carbs.
Well, it tends to require more work, more trips to the grocery store or the market to get your vegetables. And I tell people, as you're making the change, it isn't a problem to use frozen vegetables. And you want to, they're so readily available in an organic form. And so you begin by making those changes. Invest in a crock pot, because there's so very easy ways of making soups or sweet potatoes or any of the foods that tend to take a long time to cook. Put them in the crock pot in the morning, set it on low, and 6 to 8 hours later, you've got a very, very nicely slow-cooked food. And slow cooking is one of the better ways of cooking your foods. You cook the food at a low temperature at a steady pace over an extended period of time. Much, much better than exposing the food to an extremely high temperature. So there are so many little steps that people can learn about to begin to improve the quality of their diet. And it doesn't cost a lot of money. In fact, you may see that by changing your shopping patterns, you may very well spend a lot less at the grocery store while improving the quality of the foods that you bring into your kitchen.
All right. So I guess people have to, before they can implement this, you know, this change, they just have to give it a little thought. And then I think when you're in the supermarket, you can start making the changes in your purchases. I think adding, for example, avocados to your diet, an excellent source of healthy fat. And fat is, by the way, more filling than carbs because, you know, the carbs are digested quickly. Your insulin is spiked when you eat carbs, and your blood sugar drops, and you're hungry again. So you can level your sugar, your blood sugar, by eating, containing more fats in the diet.
Right. This whole cholesterol situation, so many people have been told by their doctors that they need to eat a low-fat diet. And what has that created? It's created incredibly unstable blood sugar, very, very high fasting insulin levels, and increasing levels in A1C. So by reintroducing quality fats into the diet, you're going to be working against those blood sugar issues.
Well, here are the first changes you'll see when you just employ intermittent fasting. And really all that means is just eat during a narrow window each day. You know, assign 8 hours a day to eating so your body has 16 hours a day to improving the health of your body, because what happens is you improve your insulin levels, you improve or normalize leptin sensitivity, you increase growth hormone levels, you reduce oxidative stress, and you lower your triglycerides. I mean, you don't need drugs to do any of this. In fact, you remember what Hippocrates said, let food be your medicine, let medicine be your food. We're just telling you, eat the right foods and eat them during the right hours of the day, and you can have remarkable improvements in your health. So the key here is, 8 hours. 8 hours should be enough. And it also makes it a lot easier to figure out what to eat, because I think you'll probably wind up eating less during that period of time as well. Time for another break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via phone, Skype, or email with the convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at janetcimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m., right here on this station. Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. And we've covered a lot of ground today. Especially two things, though, I want people to really think about. Instead of the specifics of what we've talked about, really to give, don't take everything at face value. Give everything a second thought. See if it makes sense to you. You know, that's what I try to do with patients. I don't tell patients what to do. I try and explain to them what they should do so that they would, it would make sense to them and they would agree that, you know, this makes sense. In other words, you know, when doctors tell patients what to do, basically they're saying, take this prescription. And if a, and they don't have time to answer the patient's questions if the patient's had any, like, why do I need this prescription? Isn't there anything else I can do for this problem? You know, doctors don't have time to, if, even if they knew the answer, they don't have time to get into it. So, you know, one of the nice things about talking to patients, and Janet has the same experience, you get to see how people are thinking because, you know, we have our own mindset in trying to stay healthy, and yet you get the viewpoints of the different people we come in contact with. Janet, what would you say is one of the more interesting opinions that you come into contact when you talk to people?
Okay. I'm going to change the question just a little bit, and I'm going to say, what's one of the more faulty opinions that tend to be scattered around the population, and very often that opinion may come from their doctors, and that might be that vitamin supplements are worthless. Why do you want to take those vitamins? You're just going to pee out those supplements. And one of the more interesting variations on that tack is someone who was taking 5,000 IUs daily of vitamin D, and the doctor said, absolutely, you must stop that. You're just peeing that out anyway. And I said, well, that doctor really does need to go back and have a little bit of additional information with regard to nutrition, because vitamin D is a fat-soluble vitamin, and the likelihood of you peeing it out is very low. In fact, one of the most significant aspects that most doctors talk about is vitamin D is a fat-soluble nutrient, and it's going to accumulate in your liver, and you're going to develop liver toxicity. So number one, take your vitamin D levels. It's going to improve your skin. It is associated with reducing your risk of breast cancer. It's associated with reducing your risk of colon cancer and overall immunity. When everyone else is suffering from different viruses and bacteria, your immune system is very hardy and very well able to take care of keeping you healthy. So take your vitamin D, take it in sufficient amounts, and make sure that your blood tests include testing vitamin D levels, because it's very important to understand where you are with regard to supporting your skin and your immune system. Very important to understand that you're not necessarily going to receive all you need in vitamin D to keep yourself healthy by sitting out in the sun. Being out in the sunshine does give you a variety of health-supporting benefits, but optimizing your vitamin D levels is not one of those benefits. Dr. Slavin?
Janet, so using that logic that the doctors are stating that you just pee out the vitamins, so why waste your money? Using that same logic, then we should just tell people to stop eating. Well,
we
no
should
benefit.
Stop.
You just pee it out. What's that, Janet?
We should tell people to stop taking their pharmaceuticals because you're just going to pee it out anyway.
Yeah, but stop eating because you know it doesn't stay in your body; it just comes out eventually. I mean that's how ridiculous it is what they're saying. But when you say, "Well, stop eating the food," well, no, you need food because you get your nutrients from food, you get your energy from food. So there is, even though it comes out eventually, there are benefits, and the same thing with taking the nutrients. I don't know. We really can't say the same thing for all those pharmaceuticals. You know, they used to be called by another name with starting with a P, but the people wouldn't take it when they were called poisons. But if you were to read the adverse effects that are posted by the drug companies when you take different drugs, you'd think you were reading the adverse effects of poisons, because some of them can be death. So what could be worse than that? But they're prescribing drugs with death as a possible adverse effect. So they don't call it poisons. They call them pharmaceuticals. And all of a sudden, people run to take it. But they have to ask the question, what's the alternative? What's causing my problem in the first place? Can I change something about how I treat my body to perhaps improve the condition to the point where I don't need to take a drug? And or if I need a drug, is there an alternative, healthier approach? And that's why more and more people are considering nutritional medicine and functional medicine, so you can intervene with these problems before you reach the point where you need to take a drug. Drugs should be the treatment of last resort for problems, not the treatment of first resort. And that goes for everything from high cholesterol to high blood pressure to high sugar level, you know, glucose. You know, there are so many other approaches that are highly effective before you have to resort to taking a drug. Drug is the easy way out, but it's not the healthy way out. That's the problem with drugs.
And it's very, very interesting because you mentioned Hippocrates, let food be your medicine. And certainly by thinking about the poisons that may be in the processed food that you're using and the opportunity to literally nourish yourselves by using high-quality organically grown vegetables, high-quality meat and fish, very, very supporting of all of the different functions of your body. We talked about fats, the quality fats from things you mentioned, avocado, Dr. Slavin. I'm thinking of coconut oil. I'm thinking about olive oil. Very, very helpful, very important, and something that many people are shying away from. One of the most incredible aspects of fat intake has been pushed aside, and what that is butter. People have been told that you absolutely should never have butter as part of your diet, but what you want is butter from organically maintained dairy herds, butter from dairy herds that have not been exposed to artificial hormones that were brought into that livestock management area by a former Monsanto executive. You want to have butter from these organic sources. Your liver knows what to do with butter. It's been digesting butter for centuries, so part of the human nutrition profile for hundreds and hundreds of years. What you need to know is that something that comes out of a factory, something that is from fats that are very highly processed, most likely very heated to temperature that is damaging to the fat molecules. So very important to make informed choices, and I'm hoping that listening to us here, Dr. Slavin, on Natural Doc Radio, that lots of people are getting many, many ideas on the quality ways of making informed choices in their dietary habits.
And we always go around in circles, and that's why the testing is so important, to give you that feedback, particularly the measurements of inflammation, because we're seeing how far-reaching inflammation is. It's not just about arthritic pains. It's about heart attack and stroke and heart disease and cancer. So you want to reduce inflammation. Well, what causes the inflammation? Primarily, it's your diet. But as the studies show that we spoke about earlier, it could even be your thoughts. So you have to be thinking positive thoughts as well to keep inflammation under control. But you don't really know it. You don't feel it. We have the heart rate variability testing that we do to identify stress in people, and also the various blood tests for stress that can be done, because you're not going to take a drug to reduce stress. You're going to have to first know it's there, and then you have to make the lifestyle changes that correct it. And Jen, I think we're just about out of time on this Friday. You've been listening to Natural Doc Radio. Don't forget, we're here every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy.